Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Michigan Literary Network Radio for Wednesday, April 6, 2016. I'm Andrea Daniel, and today we're opening up National Poetry Month with a boom, I call it. My guests are two wonderful Detroit poets. First, Verhinda Williams is with us to talk about her new poetry venture, and at 5:45, around that time, I'll talk with Stephen Sparrow about the poetry event he's working on with the Motown Museum. And first up is Verhinda Williams, who is someone who lives according to her name's Germanic Greek origin, the bare-hearted protector of multiculturalism, art, and womanhood. One of her proudest accomplishments is as founder and former host of Poetry Pages and Scribes, a monthly multicultural poetry series that began at Starbucks and tripled its followers and found a home at the Southfield Public Library in Michigan, right here. Her fluency in Spanish has prompted her to write poetry in the language she says has added richness and a passion to her work. Williams' first book of bilingual poetry and essays, Memoirs of the Human Experience and Everything in Between, Volume 1, is a testimony of her own life experiences and leads the reader on an introspective journey. And we will hear from Ms. Verhinda Williams after this quick break.
You're listening to the Michigan Literary Network radio show hosted by Motown Writers Network. Thank you for joining us. Motown Writers connects writers to their literary goals and readers to Michigan authors. For writers, we have workshops, conferences, networking opportunities, marketing, and promotions, plus resources available online and offline. We invite writers of all stages to our free writers discussions meetings held every second Saturday except in November at the Barnes & Nobles on Wayne State University campus from 10 a.m. to noon. For readers, we provide literary entertainment, book news, and giveaways online and offline. Check out our website for more information at MotownWriters.com. The Michigan Literary Network and Motown Writers annual events offline include the Essence of Motown Literary Conference and Jam, held every second Saturday in November. Also, our literary meet and greet is held in August of every year. Along with that, we have a book club mix and mingle in October. At these events, we invite readers and writers to come together to celebrate the written word, and at most events, they are free to readers. If you're interested in being a guest on our radio show, advertising with us, or promoting your literary project or service, please visit us at MotownWriters.com and click on our contact page for more information. If you're interested in hosting your own show with the Michigan Literary Network, please submit your show proposals to MotownWriters@Yahoo.com. Please share our information with other readers and writers, and we hope you help us continue to strengthen the literary network in Michigan and increase literacy in the Metro Detroit community. For more information, please visit our website at www.MichiganLiteraryNetwork.com.
And this is Michigan Literary Network Radio for Wednesday, April 6th. And I am about to talk with the wonderful Ms. Verhinda Williams, who I now have on the line. Welcome to the show, Verhinda.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
You are so welcome. How are you today?
I am fantastic. A little under the weather, but I'm okay.
Okay, well, you're here, and we thank you for being
here.
So, So I want to start back at the birth of Poetry Pages and Scribes and work our way forward to this new thing you're about to do. So I read your bio, and it said that Poetry Pages and Scribes is one of your proudest accomplishments. Tell us about that venture, Verhinda.
Oh, wow. So Poetry Pages and Scribes started back in 2007. And it was my brainchild. It was my baby. It was everything. I really wanted a place mm-hmm. where poets, storytellers, singers, performers, everyone could just come together in a play, in a safe space where they would be heard, they would feel validated, it would be diverse, and it would really feel like fellowship. And so, yeah, that was really, really, really important to me. And so the Southfield Public Library so graciously opened its doors to us, and we went on for about seven years, which is
wow.
poetry is a long time consecutively, year after year. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
7 years is a nice long time, but you had to discontinue it, right?
Yes.
Okay, so tell us why. Can you say why you had to, bring it to a close?
Well, I think, with most things, it has its course, it runs its season, and with literary arts or really any kind of art, funding is always, at a premium, and long-term sustainability can be just really difficult. And, for the most part, it was a one-woman show. I produced it, I hosted it, I financed it, everything, that you saw was brought to you, by a lot of hard work, a lot of blood, sweat, and tears. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention, we did have some very faithful, volunteers, but that's how PPS was run. It was through just dedicated individuals who were just in love with poetry, in love with the series, and gave what they could to support us. And, I really feel like the poetry series, it grew me up because I was kind of wide-eyed ingenue when I first started. So it grew me up in a lot of ways. And I think, when you look at, I was 27. Yeah, so relatively speaking, very young. That was a lot of responsibility, to shoulder at such a young age. But my community believed in me, and I had a family that believed in me and the community. So it was really a great time and awesome season, and I think really kind of sets me up or has set me up from some of the other ventures that I've gone on through the years participating, all really started with the foundation of poetry.
Okay. So let's leap forward to 2016, and you've got a whole bunch of things going on, but you did tell me that you are about to present a new poetry event. Or break the silence on Michigan Literary Network Radio so that we can all know what this new thing is that you're getting ready to do.
Oh, my. So the new thing that I'm getting ready to do, I don't want to give too much away, but I do want to say this, that it's going to be hot. And all I can say is keep your fingers crossed and breath baited for Detroit Juju. If you enjoy Be in the City, which is a web series that I produced a few years ago as well, highlighting entrepreneurs and highlighting musicians and artists and poets and what have you in sort of their natural habitat, then you are going to enjoy and be enthralled with Detroit Juju. I want to kick it up a notch. I want it to be more multi-sensory. I want it to be engaging, the audience to be engaged in the creative process as well. It'll be minimal open mic so that each voice that you hear is not just heard, but I want you to hear them in a different way. It'll be people that you're familiar with, people that you're not so familiar with. But I think this event is curated really to me through the essence and truth of Detroit, because to me, Detroit is such a magical place. And there's a richness that I think forges you that when you go other places, like people know you're from Detroit by what you have on, the cadence and rhythm of your speech pattern. They know you're from the Motor City. And I think there's a silent expectation of when you meet a Detroiter is formidable.
Mm-hmm.
But you know that there is no nonsense. You know that we are about our business, but we are multi-layered, multifaceted. And as they say, Detroit hustles harder. It is the truth, but I'm moving toward Detroit mastery.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so why, you know, it's been a while since there's been some time, a nice bit of time between Poetry Pages and Scribes and now. So why is now the time to bring your poetry series back into existence?
I think everything has a season, you know, honest to goodness, and you do need some time off just as an individual and as an artist, and to really balance out, you know, oneself, you just need some time to reflect, and I think my time off has given me enough time to reflect, enough time to kind of hone, you know, my... not just the talent as an artist, but also as an entrepreneur, because that's the other aspect of it. You know, this is a business, and there's just so much more that I've learned about the business of artistry that I didn't have, I think, going in, that I do now, that I think adds a definite richness to the experience for the audience, and I'm ready to play. I think that I'm feeling frisky, and I want to play. Anybody that knows me knows that I like to dress, and I'm ready to go into my closet and pull out the stilettos and the dress and the juju and start making some things happen.
Okay. Are you still finalizing any of the details?
Absolutely. So there's too many things I want to give away, but I do want people to save the date, though.
Yeah.
This will be something coming in the fall, for sure, in September. So the third Thursday in September is when we'll be launching, and there will be more details, you know, forthcoming. But we've gotten with the band and the DJ, and so, like I said, there's going to be some layers and elements and some definite magic that I plan on waving with my wand, and I just really want people to come out and experience it, because you know the magic that you know is one artist, is all artists, and I think each person that comes to the event, whether they perform or not, they add to the room, they add to the experience. And so, you know, what is a performer without an audience, right? So I think it's very important that we celebrate ourselves, celebrate our collective culture, and I think that Detroit Juju does that.
Okay. It's so good to hear you talking about, you know, bringing the series back, because I remember Poetry Pages and Scribes, and one of the things that was part of the magic of that event is that people felt really safe in the space that you were providing for them, and there have been other poets that have said, you know, poets need safe spaces to practice their art and to speak their words. And so I'm assuming that Detroit Juju is going to have the same space-like vibe.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I think to get up on stage and to share the most intimate pieces of your life with strangers is heroic and vulnerable. And so if I'm going to go into my soul and bear it out for you, the least you can do, whether you like it or not, is consider it. At least consider it. And listen, because I really believe that poets, the singer, the musician, the dancer are all interpreting our collective experiences. And through their training, you know what I mean? Like through their training and through, you know, their practice of their craft, they're taking the human experience to another level by expressing it. And there's some hardship, I think, that comes with that responsibility. There's some emotional hardship that comes with that responsibility. And to be in love with an artist, oh, my gosh. You know, we're not the easiest people. to be in emotional relationship with, because the art does serve sort of as a third wheel, for lack of a better word.
Right.
Or many times the other person or people may feel like they're the third wheel to this thing that we call art. And it's not, I don't know, it's something that we necessarily get to choose, but when we don't embrace it, when we don't own who we are, when we're not operating in our gift, it is like we're living kind of at half mast. And that's not living. That's not living at all. So,
right, yeah, right.
You do. Yeah. You understand. Artists are kind of crazy.
Yeah.
We're a special breed.
We are such a special breed, and that's what's good about us. I want to talk a little bit about your writing, though, Brahinda. Your first book was Memoirs of the Human Experience and Everything in Between, Volume 1. And so that Volume 1 leads us to believe that there's going to be a Volume 2. How about that?
Yes. How about it? How about it? So, yes. So I wrote, I penned my first book and released it in 2009, and you are so accurate with the title. And it was my assertion or my take on life. So I it's broken up into different facets. It's growing old. You know, I had an opportunity to take my grandmother to California when she was 90 to celebrate a couple of 90th birthdays of her girlfriend. And, you know, when you reach a certain age, you quickly understand what's important and what's not. And that was a life-changing week for me because the things that they valued or put emphasis on weren't the same things that I valued at the time and put emphasis on. So my resolve. Yeah, because think about it, at 90, particularly at that time, you know, I released the book, they've seen abolishment of slavery, you know, they've seen world wars, they've seen segregation, they've seen integration. The rise of color television and innovation cars, you know, right in their lifetime, they've seen all of these things and the highs and lows of, you know, human achievement. And really at the end of the day, the only thing they cared about was food, champagne, and sex. At 90 was what's important. That's what's important. So I said, well, I have been spared a lot of years of heartache and disappointment if this is all one needs to be happy. And of course they say it in total tongue in cheek, but I think really what gave me some insight, they have a sense of humor. It's not so heavy. It's not so deep. Everything we do, we want to make it so deep and so heavy. It's not that heavy. It's not that deep.
Okay. Wow. So I am talking with Brahinda Williams, who's got a new poetry venture coming up in September. called Detroit Juju, and I had a second guest that was supposed to be on. Farrell was supposed to be with us, and he has just called in. I see that he is now on the line, and I wanted to continue this conversation. But, Brahinda, I do want to thank you so much for being
Absolutely.
On the show. Where can people go to get updates about your next poetry book and the new poetry venture, Detroit Juju?
Oh, sure. So they can go to IamBrahindaWilliams.com, and that's I am, and then Brahinda, B-E-R hyphen, H-E-N-D-A, Williams.com. And then they can also check out my girls group, which is The Power of Girlhood, at www.thepowerofgirlhood.org, where we introduce girls to the literary arts, all of the performing arts, actually. And we have an event coming up on April the 17th that is free for girls of all ages, and so they can log on to thepowerofgirlhood.org.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you.
And I hope you feel even more better soon.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
All right,
okay,
thank you,
Andy.
All right.
You're welcome.
Peace.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And that was Brahinda Williams. And next up is on Michigan Literary Network Radio is native Detroiter Stephen Farrell, who is one of the keepers of the word on the Detroit poetry scene. He is a writer, actor, director, and guitarist. He has earned a fiercely loyal following in Detroit and beyond, a fixture since the legendary Cafe Mahogany days. He is widely known for his ability to make any venue the spot with his edgy style, soulful grooves, and compelling brand of poetry. He is currently working with the Motown Museum to host its Motown Mic Spoken Word 2016 competition for the third year. Welcome to Michigan Literary Network Radio, Farrell.
Hello, how are you?
I am well. How are you today?
I'm awesome, awesome.
Good, good, good. So thank you for calling in. And so, you know, when we think of or scub Motown, the Motown Museum, all of that, we think of music and not poetry or spoken word. So what's the connection between poetry and Motown?
Well, Motown had a poetry label, a spoken artist label called Black Form, and they had Stokely Carmichael, Langston Hughes. They recorded Martin Luther King's speech that was here in Detroit. And, you know, Berry Gordy had a vision of, you know, of recording those artists. And the CEO of the company now is a lady by the name of Robin. And she wanted to connect Motown back to the poetry, the Black Form. So she had an idea of, you know, having a poetry contest. And so she reached out to me and together and a guy named Osiris, and we all got together and we came out with Motown Mic, and we came up with a way in which we can introduce the Hitsville to the people and people to the Black Form. And it's been an amazing journey to try to bring some of that Motown spirit to the poetry spirit or the poetry community to Motown. So it's a collaboration,
right,
I think.
Wow, that is wonderful. And this is the third year. How does Motown Mic series work, Phil?
Okay, this is how it works. We have four competitions in April. We have one, the first one is on April 8th, 2016. It starts this Friday. It's going to be held at the Motown Museum on Grand River or Berry Gordy Drive. It's a competition, and it's also a show. We have open mic, and what we do is we have poets come out and they compete. They have 3 minutes to perform a poem, and the winner, we take the best two poets of that night, and they automatically make it to the finals and the finale, which will be in June. And it's where a major competition where they win, I think, a $1,000 prize for the best poet. And the poem that they had to recite for the finale is a Motown piece. And the poem has to be based on Motown. But during the regular competition, the ones on April 8th, you can bring your own poem. You can, you know, it doesn't have to be a Motown poem. So that way you can, you know, you have time to do your best on Friday and, you know, compete. The last 2 years, it was awesome. We had some dynamic poets and dynamic competition. Mm-hmm. And it just feels good just to be in a museum, the place where Stevie Wonder and Michael Jackson, mm-hmm. in the presence of all that energy.
I encourage anyone
to come out there and be a part of that.
Right. I think that is so cool that that final poem that they have to do, they have to write a special poem about Motown. I think that's cool.
Right. It has to be based on how Motown may have influenced you.
Right.
Awesome poems.
Do people have to pre-register to participate?
No, you don't have to pre-register, but I advise you to come out early, and that way that you can get a good spot, and you can get because if it gets real crowded and, you know, you got a lot of poets down there, it's better for you to come up first or come up in the middle instead of coming late, you know. I tell people to come to the early, like I'm urging people to come out to the 8th, the show that's on the 8th or the one that's on the 15th, because, you know, once the momentum comes and people find out about it, then everybody's going to come with their best. You have a better chance of making the finals if you come out to the 8th and the one that's on April 15th.
Right.
So
okay,
I encourage people to come out early.
Okay, so by early, because it starts, it's from 8 to 10, so by early you want people to show up at what, 6, 7?
No, they get there by between 7:30 and 8, they'll be okay.
They'll also
be able to look around. I mean, you got some historical things going on in the museum. They have pictures and you know, you can visit the museum, you can take a tour. So if you want to take a tour, I suggest you come early, 6 o'clock, and you get a chance to see everything.
Okay, cool. And they still have to pay to get in?
Yes, it's $10 for general admission, but it's $5 for poets that are competing. So if you're going to, the poet wants to compete, they just have to pay $5, and they can come in.
Okay, cool. And if anybody wants to find out more information, they can go to MotownMuseum.org. And Sparrow, I want to thank you so much for being on Michigan Literary Network Radio and telling us all about Motown Mike. I am also encouraging everybody to come out there on the 8th to get the beginning feelings of this poetry competition here in Detroit. So thank you again, Sparrow, and you have a good night.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for this opportunity. Okay.
All right. You're welcome. Bye-bye.
All right. You have a good night.
Thank you. All right. So that were my two guests, Brahinda Williams, who talked about her new poetry series, Cope, coming up, Detroit Juju. Look for it in September. And my last guest was Stephen Sparrow, who told us all about the Motown Mike Spoken Word 2016 competition going on at the Motown Museum starting this Friday, the 8th. So be sure, all the poets and poet love poetry lovers, to get out there and support that event. And before we close out for Michigan Literary Network Radio, I want to let everybody know that this Saturday, April 9th, from 10 a.m. to noon, is the Motown Writers Network second Saturday meetup at the Detroit Main Library, 5201 Woodward, and we're up on the third floor in the old fine arts room, so please come on out and join in if you're in the Detroit area. And also, be sure to stay connected with Michigan's literary community through the Michigan Literary Network and Motown Writers Network at www.motownwriters.com, and we're on Facebook. And be sure to tune in to Michigan Literary Network Radio on blogtalkradio.com next Wednesday from 5:30 to 6 to hear more literary good stuff with Chris Rutherford of the Broadside Lotus Press. And my other guest on that date is Sylvia Hubbard. This has been Andrea Daniel from Michigan Literary Network Radio. Thank you out there, as always, for listening in. I want you to have a good rest of your night and be a good story. Write some good words. Good night.